Chairman.
Okay. I just want to thank Chairman Waller and Councilwoman Gray for joining us today and giving us some of your insight. We'll be looking forward to your documentation and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Way we know.
Okay. That moves us down to item number 7, ONCA 21-28. And Madam Speaker, you are the sponsor.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Sugar.
I would have went and got that.
I had to go get it in the fridge. Okay. Chairman, I'm going to have to walk to the printer really quick. If someone can remind me, where did you guys have a discussion opening this up a minute ago, or no? No, not at all?
No, okay. No.
Okay, no. I'm going to go get, I do have a update on the first. So I had a bit of a discussion the last meeting, and we discussed, you know, page 1 or section 1A, and we got a little hung up, rightfully so. I don't know. Can you still hear me? I might have gone too far away. Who's got my? Here we go. Okay, am I back?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, there I go. I walked too far away from the, so I'm getting my copies off the printer. So I got a little hung up on section 1A, governmental agency. So it was talking about excluding tribally incorporated limited liability companies. That is just never mind A. So pretend A is not there. Just kidding. I will strike that. I just wanted to update you on that part. That will not be a part of it. And so I would like to continue to move on down. I think we got over to contract, maybe E.
Yes, ma'am. Continue.
So I think the other hang up was from there was the amount. And so with that, I would guess just open it up for comments there in discussion as to why or why not. That would be the amount that's being requested. And we also have Mr. AG Clint Patterson, First Assistant AG Morgan Curry, and Legal Counsel Terry Mason Moore on the line also to participate.
All right, committee. Do we have a question?
Chair, this is Stabler, if I might.
Yes, Congresswoman Stabler.
In working through this and having a couple of conversations about this bill, I understand the thought behind raising it to the 250, and that's all good. But in trying to do a comparison, I only found one other thing that really was a benefit to this bill, because my question and my concern is, how does it help raising that level, if it doesn't necessarily change anything below that level. In other words, you have the same process whether you're above or below the level. But it does take care of one or two things, and I just wonder if somebody can explain where the benefit's going to be for anything under $250,000 in going through this procurement process. What are the savings? Where's the relief? Thank you.
Madam Speaker.
Yes, sir, and that is a conversation that we've been having. I'm just going to be really honest with you right now, and I am, like, my blood sugar, I have not eaten, and so I'm really trying to grab something right now, so I would actually request, because I didn't get to eat lunch for my meeting, and so I would ask that Ms. Curry or Terry Mason Moore comment on, or Jason's on. There were several individuals who worked on this, so I would ask them to comment on the specifics of that, please. I will engage and be listening, but I've got to eat a piece of bread or something really quick, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ms. Curry.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman and members of Congress. I believe the question was in regards to the amount, is if Ms. Stabler wouldn't mind repeating that.
Sure, Chair.
I understand your question.
Okay, so the original amount was for $50,000, and now we're raising it to $250,000. So it was pretty certain with the casino why a raised amount for them was so much better. So for all of the government entities that are going to have projects that are under $250,000, because now we're raising that ceiling, what is the benefit to it? Is there a big process change? What is it that this raising of this amount will accomplish for these projects now?
Well, the benefit would be, and this would probably be better answered by our procurement office, but since I work directly with them a lot on these projects, I can feel like I can speak pretty well for it. The benefit would be that they don't have to go through the notice and bid requirements of the CBA, which tend to be cumbersome and slow these construction projects down. So, not everything can be identified as an emergency. We've also had this $50,000 amount for some years now, and given how, prices have gone up and changed. I apologize. I don't remember exactly when it was bumped to 50,000, but just the economics of it has changed since it was 50,000. And I believe procurement and maybe Terry Mason Moore knows a little bit more about how they came to 250. But I would just say with the rising construction costs, in the economy right now is the biggest factor, but the benefit of that is that we can execute these projects through a less cumbersome process and get them going, whereas the CBA requires so many it to be posted for so many months, and then we have so many, there's 60 days to get the contract out. It can sometimes be 90 to 120 days to get these contracts and actually start doing construction. So that's the benefit of it, is that these 250 now today is now more of a smaller project for the government, just like what it was for gaming.
Chair, this is Stabler.
Thank you, ma'am.
Chair, if I could respond.
Yes.
Okay, so you mentioned the notice and bid process. Well, there's still a notice and bid process in this bill with these amendments. So that doesn't change. Neither do any of the other steps that go along with it. The only change that I could truly see was that there was a contract period that goes instead of 60 days, which is what it's supposed to be, but never is anymore, and down to 30 days, which that is a benefit right there. So, and I think removing the pre-quals was another, so to speak, benefit to go with it. So I'm just trying to make sure that by changing this or amending it, we are giving a benefit to the other, to those bids that are under 250. You know what I'm trying to say is that that's what everybody's been asking for, some kind of relief for this long piece of red tape that we have to get a project through. So that's the only two things I could find that changed, truly. And I'm just wondering if that's going to really provide enough benefit to get these projects through timely, because there's still no timeliness in how long this project is going to take. The only one piece is step about, I would say down 6 or 8 steps into the process. And so that's what I want to discuss.
So anything under 250,000 will not have to follow this process. It will follow I can't speak for procurement, but I believe it will follow a different process that's much quicker. It won't be notice and comment and all of those things. So this, you had to think about it like this process will now only apply to projects that are over $250,000. So a $100,000 project will not be subject to these requirements. And then there was also just a couple of cleanup provisions. There was some language in the emergency clause that required the chief to go through the gaming commission even when it didn't, when gaming wasn't involved. So there was a little bit of cleanup stuff too. And like you said, the pre-qualification of bidders, that was just a cumbersome process and it was confusing when it was supposed to apply. So that's been taken out, and I'm mainly just upping the amount so these smaller projects can go through the more expedited process through procurement is the purpose of this legislation. And Terry may be able to speak to that a little bit more than I can.
Yes, Councilwoman Moore.
I think Morgan has covered everything I probably would have said. I haven't done these contracts with the government for a while. She's been doing them. So I think that the main argument about it was to raising the amount was so that the things that needed to be acquired and or constructed and that was under $250,000 could be done quicker. It wouldn't be hung up for months, you know, when you need something. Takes forever, prices can go up, you know, delays. So those little small projects can happen quicker. And plus, I think we all know the cost of building materials have just like shot up, doubled or whatever since COVID. So, you know, that would be making these projects, or even a really smaller project cost $250,000 than what we would have thought of even a year ago or 2 years ago. And I was thinking that at one time, wasn't the CBA amount $125,000? Or was it only discussed and then it went back to 50? Because 50 is like you have to competitively bid everything and, you know, you can't buy anything for
$50,000. Congresswoman Stabler, you have follow-up?
Yeah, I don't. I understand all of that, and I agree with all of that, and I agree with the 250, and I agree with the process that's set up for that side of it. I'm talking about everything under that, and so I don't think we have the information before us that explains how everything else is going to happen now, because I don't know. Is it set in policy, or is there?
Chair, this is Rivard.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Second speaker, thank you, Congressman Bickhorst. So I think in speaking to Congresswoman Stabler about this, I think I understand what her question is. So Jason, you might be able to have to help me through this. I think, and I'm not speaking for you, Congresswoman Stabler, but I think the concern is, so now everything under 250,000, and we'll just talk about tribal development. So, and then I guess housing could be affected by this, tribal works. Those are the three programs that I can think of right now that would have the ability to bypass the procurement with the 250,000. Do those payables that I understand that they go to the DO, so it's not as though that director just has the authority to approve expenses up to 250,000, and how does that relate to their cap of the directors, I think, have the authority to spend up to 5,000. And I think that's one of the questions that Congresswoman Stabler's concerned about, and we talked about it a little bit in length last night. Jason, do you think you could assist with what that will look like now?
Mr. Chair, may I answer?
Yes, Mr. Zoll.
Yes, Mr. Rivard, anything over 250, obviously our director's threshold is 5,000. Casey and myself are designated by chief to sign anything up to 150,000. So anything 250, obviously over 150, which we're talking about here, would go directly to the chief. I do want to speak on Congresswoman Stabler's other question about what the process would be. We're finalizing our procurement policy update that was streamlined the process. So Ms. Wood had been working on that since she's came on board over a month ago. So there is a streamlined process that we're going to be rolling out to address any of the purchases under the 250.
May I respond, Chair?
Yes, okay. Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Jason, for that. And that was just some of the detail we were looking for and what the process may look like. So I appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
Okay, any further question? Madam Speaker?
Chairman?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Getting a question of, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to get all this stuff out of the way, but I can Mr. Zahn repeat that part about, so I know it's currently 50,000, but what was the part about the 150 regarding Chief?
Mr. Zahn.
If I may, yeah, no, I said the question was whether or not Casey or myself was going to sign for any, approve anything, 250 and below. And I just mentioned that Casey and I are only authorized to approve 150 and below. I believe that's in the Treasury law. So anything over 150, Chief has to sign. So I just said anything over the 150 will be strictly Chief, and then Casey and I will deal with anything under 150. And that we have refreshed our policies on those purchases to ensure it's more streamlined system.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Speaker, follow up.
No, I just was getting a question and I didn't hear that whole part, so I just needed it repeated. Thank you.
Okay. Was there another section that we needed to look at? Congresswoman Pratt?
Yes, Chairman. I mean,
does that satisfy?
Yeah, I knew that that was a discussion for that we began the other day. So we can look at anything anybody wants to. A lot of it as Assistant AG Curry stated, a lot of it is cleanup, and so just whatever anybody wants to talk about.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, was the floor's open. If there's any question or comment. And if not, then the chair would entertain.
Chair, this is Rivard.
Yes, Congress, Madam Second Speaker.
Thank you, sir. If the rest of the committee does not have any other comments about the current legislation, I have talked to Speaker and wanted to take the opportunity to make an amendment to the proposed bill at this time. And it would be to add on page 8, after section 12, to insert the following new section and insert section 13, an amendment to 15 ONC 2-440 and 15 ONC 2-440 shall be amended to read 2-440 reports to the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review. Tribal Development shall report construction activity updates to the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review monthly, either directly or through an owner's representative. That's my,
okay, is that
that's
a motion?
My motion, yes, sir.
Okay, committee, you heard the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Discussion.
Okay.
Can I have discussion real quick?
Congressman Walker.
I'll hear what the movement has to say first.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm going, so currently, committee, the way it reads in the current law is that all the language had stayed the same, but it currently says that tribal development shall report construction activity updates to the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review twice per month, each directly or through an owner's representative. So what this does, committee, is that it removes the language twice per month, which is every 2 weeks, to monthly. And that's all the amendment would do.
Congressman Walker, follow up.
Yes. Apparently that language has been in the law. Guess my point would be, we've gone months without having an Office of Fiscal Performance and Review, or at least nobody staffing it. I mean, we get into these types of issues where we designate an office or a department or a program or whatever. For the sake of discussion, I'm wondering if it would be better off if it just had reports to Congress rather than a department or an OFPR portion of our branch that we may or may not have.
Chair, this is Rivard.
It's Congressman Rivard.
Yes, and Congressman Walker, you're correct. That discussion did come up as well, because I remember, you know, over a year ago, I believe, when OFPR had there was vacancies, that question was brought up because the law said to submit it to OFPR, but there wasn't an OFPR. So either way, I think that to Congress would be just as well, because that's actually what we're doing right now. Yeah. They submit it to our clerk and she sends it out to everybody, so.
Chairman.
Congressman Walker.
I would feel more comfortable if it were submitted, being submitted to the Congress. You know, just in case there is one person over there, which there is now and there likely will be in the future. If it's sent to the clerk, we know that we're going to see it. If it's sent to, this has nothing to do with the person that's in there now or been there in the past. But I think you guys see where I'm going with that. I would feel better if it's sent to Congress.
Congresswoman, Second Speaker, would you like to amend your amendment?
Yes, Chair. I can make an amendment to my amendment. I'm going to do my best, so everybody be patient. Where's Trey? Okay. So I think that then it would, the amendment to my amendment would strike. Updates to the Office of Fiscal Performance and Review, and we would insert Congress, or to the Clerk of Congress, to Congress.
I would say Clerk of Congress, personally.
That's appropriate, yes. So we're just striking OFPR and inserting Clerk of Congress.
No. Osage Nation Congress.
Okay.
So, Chair, if you'd like, I could reread it.
Okay. Restate, please.
Thank you. Tribal Development shall report construction activity updates to the Osage Nation Congress monthly, either directly or through an owner's representative.
Is that a motion?
And a motion.
Is that a motion? I'll second.
Okay, Madam Clerk, we were doing an amendment to the amendment, so that's what this is, correct?
Yes. Chair, this is the clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
It started out as an amendment to the amendment, and then Congress or Second Speaker made the statement that she would restate her amendment. So I understood that to be that she was withdrawing and restating. Is that how she intended it to be or not?
Chair.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
No, she was restating her amendment to the amendment. She has now made a motion to make an amendment to the amendment to strike the OFPR portion, insert Osage Nation Congress, and it's been seconded by Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, is everyone clear? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, the amendment to the amendment passes. So now we're on the amended amendment. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, amendment passes. Question to the off to Second Speaker.
Yes, sir.
So we took the language that was in Section 13 and replaced it with that language there. So should. Do we add a Section 14 to put this bill is effective upon the signature of the principal chief or upon his signature and so on.
Chair.
Does anything move? Yes.
Chair Bighorse, the effect that Second Speaker was trying to have was regarding her motion was just to simply change the reporting as it stands, with it stating reporting to the Office of Fiscal Performance and Review and inserting Osage Nation Congress. So that's all.
Okay, I thought it was a new section.
Chair Bighorse, I understand what you're saying, because the next section is, it was 13. So I think that the bill would be fine.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Also, Chairman.
Okay. Yes.
I apologize. However, we may need just have a small re-vote for parliamentary cleanup, because the motion was seconded by a member who was not on the committee.
My apologies, Chair. I forgot what committee I was in.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk,
yes, sir.
How do we proceed?
Let me ask Shanna one moment.
Chairman, do we have another meeting or two this week?
Yes, we do.
I'm just saying that we're supposed to end at 2:30.
Okay, Chairman?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Yes, sir. I didn't realize we were past time. So, I mean, it would be somewhat of a simple fix, but we'll just handle it. How about we handle it the next time? And then we were just working through an amendment to the amendment just for practice. And so we can easily be changed the wording changed, and we can address it in the next meeting. So we don't.
Okay,
have to
so I'm looking
right
for a motion to postpone.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion passes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 We are adjourned.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Clerk, just let me know when you're ready if you need a few more minutes. I mean, I know you
said. Are you asking about for the culture meeting? I think they
were getting ready to. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that has a different call in, so I'm